All right, open your Bibles, if you would, with me, please, to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 13. I'm going to pull out two verses from this chapter as the text for the message. Revelation chapter 13, and the two verses are verses 16 and 17. Again, Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. And he, the beast, causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, just a pause for a moment. When we get into our detailed discussion on prophecy, we'll go into this much more, of course. But just for now, you have to understand that most of the book of Revelation is written in allegorical form. And that's true here in the passage. In their right hand or in their foreheads does not necessarily mean some kind of a tattoo in your right hand or forehead, literally. The term forehead and right hand would immediately resonate with the Hebrew Christians who were reading this prophecy of John, because under the Old Covenant, the Hebrews, many of them would wear phylacteries on their heads and on their arms. And so this was definitely a symbolic allegory to that. And even though the book itself was written in Greek, the Hebrew believers would have definitely understood the right hand and the forehead, meaning accepting, in the case of the Hebrews under the Old Covenant, it would have meant accepting the law of the Lord with your heart and mind and with your body. So the mind and then the arm, representing the totality of the human being, body, soul, spirit, heart. And so that was the symbolism of the phylacteries that the Hebrews would wear under the Old Covenant. So when he talks about this pertaining to the beastly system, he's saying that you will accept this system with your whole heart, with your mind, with your flesh, and that's the meaning of this. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So I'll read it one more time without the comment. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. In other words, if you do not accept the authority of the beast over your life by whatever mark is meant, you would not be able to function in society. You would not be able to purchase, to buy, to travel, to work. You must submit to the authority of the beast. You must have the mark of the beast, whatever specifically that refers to, or you would not be able to conduct business, to work, and to live in the beastly society. That's what the verse is saying. This week, an article appeared on theburningplatform.com, and I'd like to read this to you. Now, in France, where this column originates, or this article, the mark is called a pass. If you do not have a pass showing that you have been vaccinated with the COVID vaccines, you are not able to conduct yourself in society throughout the country of France. So as I read the article, I have no idea whether this individual is a Christian or not. There's no reference to that. But in the article, he refers to the pass. Okay? So instead of using the word pass every time it appears, I'm going to use the word mark because it's one and the same. The pass is the mark. The mark is a pass. It's identical in definition. So I'm going to use the word mark every time he used the word pass. Let me read it. Here in France, it has gone to the extreme with the health mark. Last week on the 21st, all restaurants, bars, coffee shops, and any leisure activities like sporting events, theaters, cinemas, museums were closed to anyone without the mark. And all staff at these places are mandated to get the jab to keep their job. It is now a 6-month prison sentence if you are caught inside any of these places without the mark. Business owners will get a fine of 45,000 euros and 1-year prison sentence if they do not comply with the use of the mark and force all their employees to get the jab. So the result, all the low-paid employees quit. They can now make more on welfare than they can at work. We can still technically get takeout food, but I just tried last night, and every restaurant in our town that is dine-in with takeout has closed their doors due to the lack of staff. As of last week, all doctors, nurses, and health industry workers have been mandated to get the jab or lose their license, practice, job, business, etc. All healthcare here are government-paid positions, and there are no private healthcare doctors or hospitals. That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Continuing with his article. As of August 1st, all large malls, retail stores, and grocery store owners and their staff need to be jabbed, and the health mark is required to enter for employees and customers. You cannot even get in the grocery stores, malls, etc., without the mark. This would be the equivalent to closing all Targets, Walmarts, Costcos, Home Depots, and all major grocery stores, basically any building over 20,000 square meters, to those without the mark. As of September 15th, all public areas and access will be off limits. No farmers markets, no parks, no national parks, lakes, rivers, beaches, recreation areas, campsites, etc. No gathering over 100 people, no churches, no weddings, etc. without the mark. As of October 1st, all small vendors such as delis, pizza trucks, I like that idea. I don't know if I've ever, do you have any pizza trucks? They do in France. Well, they did in France. Sandwich shops, butchers, bakers, vegetable stands, etc. will be off limits if you don't have the mark. So as of October 1st, I will only be able to purchase food by the internet or pick up if the store allows it. Is it me, or does all this seem a bit extreme for a mark that isn't exactly working? America, you'd better wake up. All over the United States, government employers and many private companies are mandating their employees take the jab or lose their jobs, as we found out from this dear lady from Missouri today. Paul Craig Roberts wrote a great article that was picked up on lewrockwell.com this week. Paul was former assistant treasury secretary under Ronald Reagan, as most of you know. And I quote his brief column. Why have U.S. corporations involved themselves in public health policy? Why have they taken a position that is totally contradicted by all facts and all known evidence? And you see, if you don't understand the spiritual nature of this beastly system, if you don't understand that this is not science, this is not medicine, this is spiritual deception. Then you're not going to understand why all of this is happening. And Paul, that's why he's asking the question, is he may not understand the spiritual significance of this. It is not only democratic governments that have turned totalitarian, but also private corporations who are asserting authority to override the Nuremberg laws and mandate that employees be vaccinated with the COVID vaccine. A vaccination is a medical procedure and requires informed consent. It is very strange to find corporations recruited to serve a coerced marketing campaign. We hear about the pandemic of the unvaccinated, he put that in quotes, but there is no such pandemic. All evidence shows that the majority of new cases are among the double inoculated. The majority of people are those who've been inoculated. Public officials and the, this is a word that he uses a lot, the prostitutes, talking about the media, are implying that it is those who refuse the vaccine who are responsible for the new outbreak, when to the contrary, it is the vaccinated people who are the cause of the variants and the new illnesses. As Dr. Malone, the inventor of the mRNA technology used to create the vaccine, has patiently explained, the vaccine trains the virus to produce variants that escape vaccines. Considering the enormous number of deaths and injuries associated with the vaccine, we are faced with the conclusion that the vaccine gives those vaccinated COVID illnesses. No evidence exists that supports the claim of CDC Director Rochelle Walensky that the Delta variant is a, quote, pandemic of the unvaccinated, close quote. No evidence exists that the vaccine protects against COVID. Indeed, the vaccine seems to spread the virus. We have learned that there's no such thing as fully vaccinated. The new program is endless booster shots every few months, the result of which will be an explosion in adverse effects from the vaccine. The COVID policy is so counterfactual and so contradicted by all evidence that conspiracy theorists who see a darker agenda at work are gaining credibility. And for Paul Craig Roberts to say that, that's significant. And then he concludes, when a vaccine has proven itself not to protect, but to cause unprecedented deaths and illnesses, how can any intelligent person arrive at the conclusion that more vaccine is the solution? Just this week, we learned that two of my congregants from my former pastorate died after receiving the COVID vaccination. One of them was in her 40s. Two people that I personally knew as their pastor died this week, and both having taken the COVID vaccination. For those of you around the country, you should know that our state here in Montana is the only state in the United States to ban vaccine requirements for employees. And that was the direct result of a massive input from the grassroots citizenry of this country and some great legislators who had a determined position to bring this legislation to the legislature, and the governor had the guts to sign it, and it's the law of our state that no business can require vaccine for their employees as a condition for employment. And we're the only state in the country with such a law. And as you can imagine, pressure is coming in from all over the country on our state government, our legislators, and our governor to reverse this law. Next week, would you please bring with me the names of our legislative leaders, our governor, our majority leader, and majority Senate and House, and all the leadership. And we need to start letting these people know that they cannot buckle to the pressure of outside influences to try and undo the constitutional acts of the legislature supported by the people of the state of Montana. It's very important that we stand in the gap with our legislators, because I'm telling you, right now, the pressure is immense, including economic bribery attempts in order to get them to reverse, because we're the one state, the only state that has done this, and they don't want other states copying this. And so they're going to try to stop it here in Montana. Very important that we get involved in this. We'll have those names. And if you have the names yourself, don't wait for us to give them to you. You can start contacting them this week. Tell them thank you so much for what you've done, and do not submit to the pressure. We are behind you. Yeah. With that in mind, I'm going to give you a couple of other articles that were in the news this week that I think are so very relevant to the message of the hour. This comes from attorney Thomas Renz and his website. The title of it, Bombshell Lawsuit Alleges Government Covering Up Tens of Thousands of Injection-Related Deaths. Attorney Thomas Renz filed a lawsuit in federal court in Alabama on July 19 that alleges a massive government cover-up of injection-related U.S. deaths that number, quote, at least 45,000. The suit, filed on behalf of America's frontline doctors in U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Alabama, is based on a sworn statement by a government insider under federal whistleblower protection. America's Frontline Doctors, a nonprofit, filed a motion seeking immediate injunctive relief to stop the emergency use authorization of COVID-19 vaccines for three groups of Americans: anyone under the age of 18, anyone who has recovered from COVID-19, and those who haven't been given informed consent as defined by federal law. Speaking at a Reawaken Tour event held July 17 and 18 in Anaheim, California, Renz made the bombshell announcement he says is based on a whistleblower with access to government computers and can prove that at least 45,000 Americans have already been killed by the three COVID-19 vaccines authorized for emergency use by the FDA. 45,000, according to this source, people have died after receiving the COVID injection. Well, I can vouch for at least two of those. Then there was another report that I want to share. This is from leohoman.com. Doctor cites whistleblowers inside CDC who claim injections have already killed 50,000 Americans. The doctor quoted is Dr. Peter McCullough. He says, quote, good doctors are doing unthinkable things. They appear to be under a spell. The whole world is under a spell. The spell is satanic deception. And it includes most of the pastors in America. So I quote now the article. The most highly cited physician on the early treatment of COVID-19 has come out with an explosive new video that blows the lid off the medical establishment's complicity in the unnecessary deaths of tens of thousands of Americans. Dr. Peter McCullough said these deaths have been facilitated by a false narrative bent on pushing an all-new, unproven vaccine for a disease that was highly treatable. McCullough is a professor of medicine and vice chief of internal medicine at Baylor University, also teaches at Texas A&M University. He is an epidemiologist, cardiologist, and internist, and has testified before the Texas State Senate related to COVID-19 treatments. He holds the distinction of being the most widely cited physician in the treatment of COVID-19 with more than 600 citations in the National Library of Medicine. The sources are plenteous that the medical profession in general and the CDC in particular are deliberately hiding the numbers of deaths that have occurred among people having taken the COVID vaccination. In the same way that the CDC and the medical establishment manipulated and exaggerated the number of deaths associated with COVID back in the spring of 2020, when our own Dr. Andy Bukacek got up on this platform and gave her professional analysis, citing the CDC's own documents to prove the manipulation, the exaggeration that was taking place at the CDC in order to beguile the American people regarding the threat and the danger of COVID-19. In the same way that they exaggerated the numbers of deaths associated with COVID in 2020 is the same way that they are manipulating the numbers in 2021 to hide the numbers of those who are dying from the COVID vaccinations. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not medicine, this is not science, this is blatant deception. And as I said, unfortunately, the vast majority of evangelical pastors and churches are fully subservient to this medical mark of the beast. And that's exactly what these vaccine passports or passes, call them whatever you want, that's what they are. They are medical marks of the beast. Some churches and Christian organizations, and I am not making this up, some churches and Christian organizations are even refusing to allow unvaccinated people from attending their services or participating in their Christian observances. In other words, they would deny them communion, they would deny them baptism, they would deny them the Christian ordinances that we observe as a church body, and they are denying them attendance in the churches because of their submission to the beastly system. If you do not have a vaccination passport, many churches will not let you in to their congregation. If you have run into that, wherever you are, would you please spread the word in your state and in your local community that there is one church in this country where the unvaccinated will always be welcome, and that's Liberty Fellowship in Kalispell, Montana. Now, please let me remind you of three important biblical truths that are all germane to everything we're discussing. Number one, the Israel-based pre-tribulation rapture is a myth. Let me say it again. The Israel-based pre-tribulation rapture is a myth. Why is that important? Because this Israel-based pre-tribulation rapture deception is what the vast majority of evangelical churches have embraced for the last 100 years. As a result, they have fallen for these massive misinterpretations of Scripture, which have led evangelicals across the country to accept this medical mark of the beast. If they had never accepted this phony pre-tribulation rapture myth, they would not be susceptible to the deception that is the medical mark of the beast. So, number one, the Israel-based pre-tribulation rapture is a myth. Number two, the Israel-based seven-year tribulation itself is a myth. And when we get into our discussion of prophecy, I will elaborate on that in detail. But these two falsehoods form the theological foundation that has opened the minds and the hearts of evangelical Christians to accept all of the lies that are now permeating the world pertaining to the phony COVID narrative and the COVID shots in particular. Without the acceptance of this false prophecy doctrine, that deception would not have a fertile groundwork on which to grow. But those foundations of false prophecy give fertile ground for the deception that we are now experiencing. And number three, let me remind you again, and I've mentioned this several times in messages of the past, the beast is not a man. It is an antichrist beastly system. It's a system. But because the evangelical world thinks that the beast is an individual being, an individual human being that's going to come in the future after they've been raptured, and this is all for Israel, and we're not going to be here, because of that deception, they are sitting on the sidelines saying nothing and have actually given their hearts to this medical beastly system out of ignorance of truth and out of the acceptance of the falsehood of the Schofield futurism that is known as predestinational prophecy that most evangelicals all accept, thanks to the ministry and the Bible of C.I. Schofield. So I'm trying to show you the connection between false theology that has permeated the church over the last 100 years and the acceptance of this beastly system by the church that we are now experiencing today. And let's face it, if the evangelical church had not have fallen victim to this lie back in the spring of 2020, if they would have stood their ground for truth as a church body collectively, you and I both know that the COVID narrative would have died on the vine. It would have died before it started. But when the churches started closing their doors, when the churches started accepting the virus, when the preachers started getting up on television and telling everybody that they need to stay home and do everything the CDC said, when they did that, it gave the spiritual cover for the deception that was needed in order for this to become the monster that it is today. Again, that's why I've told you from day number one, this is not a political issue, this is not a medical issue, this is not a science issue, this is a spiritual issue. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. And I want to show you something interesting. This is not the first time that the church was subjected to a similar medical mark of the beast. The early church in Jerusalem and Judea was also subjected to the deception of a medical mark of the beast. And I want to show you that in Acts chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to read several verses of this chapter. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Circumcision, of course, was part of the old covenant law. But make no mistake about it, circumcision is a medical procedure. Yes. It is a medical procedure. The Judaizers in the church brought the deception of this forced medical mark of the beast to the church, demanding that they all become circumcised according to the law of Moses, or they would not be saved. You follow me? A medical mark of the beast. A medical procedure. Forced, attempted to be forced, on the church. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question. This was such a divisive and powerful deception within the church, demanding that they all be circumcised in order to be saved, that they had to have a conference of the apostles and the church elders in Jerusalem in order to discuss this matter. That's how serious this was. Skip down to verse 4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, you can only imagine what that was like. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us, the Jews, and them, the Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now skip down to verse 19. After Peter's remarks and then Paul and Barnabas spoke, all that they said are not recorded, the pastor of the church of Jerusalem, James, who is the cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciple of the Lord, and the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, he's also the author of the book of James in the New Testament. He said, verse 19, "Wherefore my sentence is, he gave the final verdict, being the pastor. It was his responsibility to give this verdict. It was not Paul's, it was not Peter's, it was not Barnabas. They looked to James, the pastor of the Jerusalem church, to give the final verdict on the matter. That's why he said, my sentence, my verdict, my decision is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned unto God." In other words, we should not require them to submit to this medical tyranny that the Judaizers were trying to force upon them. Then verses 22 through 31. "Then pleased it the apostles and elders," that is what James had decided, "with the whole church, to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas named Barsabbas and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner," letters to all the churches. "The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words," notice, "subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation." That's the story of how the devil tried to deceive and destroy the early church in Jerusalem and Judea, using the deception of a medical procedure to force upon the church under the guise of salvation. If you don't get this procedure, you will not be saved. Thankfully, because of the men like Paul and Barnabas and Simon Peter and James and the other great men that were there, the ones listed and the ones not listed, they were able to put that fire out, and the church was able to grow, even though that deception continued for a long time. It was never able to really gain prominence within the church because of the way those apostles stood firm against it. That's why I say to you, if the pastors had stood firm in their opposition to this Antichrist medical procedure as a means of our fleshly salvation, this thing would have been defeated a long time ago. The first century church fell victim to the beastly system of Judaizers that mandated a forced medical treatment, circumcision, for their spiritual salvation. The 21st century church has fallen victim to the beastly system of the Judaizers that mandate a forced medical treatment, COVID vaccinations, for their physical salvation. But the 21st century forced medical treatments go much further. They demand compliance at the cost of not being able to work, travel, buy, and sell. So for all these evangelicals out there, I ask you, how are forced COVID vaccinations different from the mark of the beast stated in the Word of God? The answer, they aren't different. You are marching to an Antichrist drummer. You are submitting to an Antichrist narrative. You've accepted an Antichrist system. Let me give you a brief application before I conclude my remarks. Number one, true born-again Christians must understand the Antichrist nature of the entire COVID narrative, and with God's help and power, reject and resist it. I say again, true born-again Christians must understand the Antichrist nature of the entire COVID narrative, and with God's help and power, reject and resist it. Number two, if working as an employee for a company or corporation, be prepared to find alternative means of employment if the mark becomes a requirement for employment. You need to start thinking very seriously now about other means by which you will be able to sustain yourselves should this mark be required of you at your place of employment. Number three, we must be prepared to face the hostilities that may come upon us by the forces of Antichrist as they attempt to force us into submission to the beastly system. We must be very aware of these potential hostilities, and we must be prepared to face them with all of the courage and all of the conviction of our souls. Number four, we must come to the understanding that everything we've been taught regarding biblical prophecies and the last days have been falsehoods designed to deceive us regarding what we are facing right now. Amen. The deceptions of biblical prophecy over the last 100 years were nothing more than preparation for the deception of what the church is experiencing right now. Amen. Again, I urge you people to get the Israel packages. I know it take a few shekels. There's three packages, 31 messages. But these are so important to the understanding of the biblical truth relative to Israel. And if you do not understand the biblical truth relative to Israel, you cannot understand the error of Israel-based prophecy. Prophecy, true Bible prophecy, is not Israel-based. It is Jesus-based. But that's not the way it's understood. In 90% of the evangelical churches across America, to them, everything about prophecy centers on Israel. There is no prophecy without Israel. All prophecy points to Israel in their way of thinking. As such, they are totally ignorant of the truth relative to Bible prophecy, cannot possibly understand it, nor can they understand the Antichrist deception that is at play right now, to which they have fallen victim. Please get the Israel packages. I preached a message not too many weeks ago. The days of Noah, Lot, and 70 AD Jerusalem. Warnings for America. This is a message that will coincide with the Israel messages that will help you tremendously. Again, the days of Noah, this is based on Jesus' days of Noah prophecy. The days of Noah, Lot, 70 AD Jerusalem, warnings for America. And the messages that I preached about the coronavirus last year, the rise of the beast, coronavirus, and Antichrist. If you haven't got that, five messages on one DVD, please get these messages. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So how are forced COVID vaccinations different from the mark of the beast? They are not. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Before I pray, the Lord Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago, shed his royal rich blood for your sins and mine. He died in our place as our substitute. He rose from the dead, proving he was God in flesh. He sits at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for the saints. If you have never received him as Savior, my dear friend, not only are you robbing yourself of eternal life, you're robbing yourself of the power and the wisdom that God gives his people that trust in him by faith and have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within them. May God burden your heart today for your need for a Savior. May God help you to see that your church membership, your baptism, your good works, obeying the Ten Commandments, gifts of the Spirit, etc., cannot save your soul. that Jesus and Jesus alone is your Savior, and that you need to trust Him by faith right now. If you've not done that, I pray you'll do that today. In this room, if there's any of us that have never trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior, in your heart, do it now. And the same for you online.